As we said, Ron Paul joined us at the top of the hour. He's with us on the phone from Washington. As the Republican convention gets going in Minnesota in September, down the street, Ron Paul's Campaign for Liberty, a rally for Congressman Paul's coalition of conservatives, will also be convening. Congressman Paul joins us from Washington on the phone. What do you mean to accomplish at your convention in September? And thanks for staying with us.
Well, the title of the meeting we have is a rally for the Republic, and that's exactly what we wanted to do. It has to be, we want it to be very positive. We want to talk about what's happened last year or so, the attention that we got through the campaign on issues that, generally speaking, neither candidate has or are willing to talk about. And we want it to be very positive. It's not there to confront or obstruct or disturb the other convention, but it's to get our people together to celebrate and actually have some fun.
Yeah, we were talking about the economy a moment ago. You, if there was a Ron Paul administration, in the first 100 days would make a run at getting rid of the Federal Reserve and the IRS. That would certainly change the economy, right?
Yes, it would, but realistically speaking, you can't do that in 30 days or even 1 year. But the intent of doing that, if you were moving in that direction, would have a very positive effect on the economy. If all of a sudden you knew you didn't have to pay any income tax, your income would go way up immediately, and you would be so much better off. And as far as getting rid of the Federal Reserve, it was never intended that we have a central bank, and we've had it through our entire history, only since 1913. We've had a lot of ups and downs. But my idea about getting rid of the Federal Reserve is actually to have a parallel monetary standard and phase it out instead of closing it down one day. That would be chaotic. But if we continue to do what we're doing and destroy the dollar, that is going to be a lot more chaotic, and I think that's what we're moving toward. And other countries have experienced that when a currency is destroyed, because you end up with very, very high interest rates and possibly even runaway inflation.
Let me ask you a couple of very quick questions regarding the campaign, just to get them out of the way. You are not endorsing, even though you are a Republican, John McCain, correct?
No, I am not. His views are so different than mine, and although I feel comfortable in the Republican Party believing in limited government, actually I think I'm closer to what the Republicans profess to believe in. I can't endorse somebody that contradicts everything I've stood for and worked for 30 years.
Barack Obama supports you or is close to your position on the war. True or false?
Partially true. What he says is closer, and his statements are much closer than John McCain's. But I've never heard him say, bring all the troops home from the Middle East. And he's never taken off the options off the table by Iran. He talks militantly about Iran, that we have to have all options on the table. He wants to put more troops in Afghanistan. So he's not very close to the traditional non-interventionist foreign policy that George Washington, the early presidents, talked about. I think we should give up on the empire, and we should bring our troops home, and our country would be better off, because the Soviets had to give up their empire, and they disintegrated. And I think that will happen to us. We will come home, but I don't want to have the destruction of our financial system and have to come home under those conditions. I'd like to just come home now.
Ron, Paul, one quick question for you. Campaign for Liberty, if you're not confronting, why have it the exact same week as the Republican convention? And we just have a few seconds.
Well, confronting to me is like disrupting and demonstrate and try to take over the convention. I think philosophically we're very much confronting and setting a standard and an option, and that's where the people are, that's where the media will be.
At the very least, Ron Paul, you'll be siphoning conservatives away from that Republican convention. We'll talk about more about that after some headlines. We'll be back with you in the next segment. Ron Paul, representative from Texas and former Republican presidential candidate. Stay with us. Congressman Paul, we were talking a moment ago about the idea that your convention and your mobilization of conservatives, and there will be 18,000, we believe, at your event in Minneapolis, that this does siphon conservative votes away from the Republican Party. You're, you know, really a bullet in the heart of John McCain's candidacy, it seems.
Well, it is a challenge, and it's meant to be a challenge, hopefully, you know, influencing what the Republican Party, stands for. But I'm not a candidate. They're not going to be voting for me. But it is true that if they come to the same realization that there's no difference between the two candidates, then they might pick a third candidate or a fourth candidate and vote in another way. Or they might not vote at all. But just to vote for one candidate over the other, and their foreign policy being essentially the same, and they don't care about monetary policy, and they're not talking about really having concern about these deficits and the financial situation we're in, I think that's a very worthy goal to call attention to the American people of how serious this is.
Well, you said on the floor of the House about a month ago that you believe that the volatility we're seeing in the markets is a sign of some sort of global economic chaos that you described in the most dire of terms. Do you believe that we're headed for some sort of economic catastrophe?
Well, I don't know whether I'll use that word, but I think if we don't straighten up, yes, it could be very, very bad, because I see this financial problem that we face today different than anything we've ever had in our history, because we've been globalized, and the globalization is sometimes very good, but if it's based on malinvestment and debt and a currency that is not sound, which is the dollar. See, the dollar's been the reserve currency since the breakdown of the Bretton Woods Agreement, when the currency did have some backing. After 71, there was no backing. So we've been allowed to create money out of thin air and spend it overseas, so we didn't have to work so hard to maintain our standard of living. So our standard of living has been higher than we've deserved, and people took our dollars. Now they're starting to take our dollars less enthusiastically, and this problem is not going to just be in the United States. Already we see that even in Europe, and they've lived beyond their means, and actually the euro has been stronger than the dollar, but I wouldn't invest in the euro because I think their situation is just as bad, because they've been willing to buy our dollars and inflate their own currency, as well as in China. So I see it as a global problem. The market's demanding a correction and a liquidation of debt and the malinvestment, and that's when the pain and suffering will come.
Ron Paul, we have a question for you from one of our listeners. Take a listen to this, please.
To Senator Paul, I'd say, sir, you are a breath of fresh air in today's political scene. Second, when I was in school, I remember the definition of communism was basically where the state owned all land and there's a centralized economy. I would ask Senator Paul, it seems to me like we are living in a socialist republic in America today, because with the property taxes that we have, we basically rent our land from the government, as well as our stoves, our refrigerators, our cars, and everything else. Are we living in a socialist republic, Senator Paul? Thank you.
You got a little promotion there, Ron. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot. In a way, we are. We're moving in that direction. I use the word corporatism and fascism. They don't have title to our land, but they have control of our land. Our government now owns more than one-third of all the land in this country. In the early years, we were transferring land from the federal government into private ownership. Now we're going in the other direction. But he's right to indicate that the control is with the government. We can't do anything without permission, and we are taxed. We do pay rent, and this is true throughout, whether it's the military-industrial complex. Our medical system is not socialism per se, but it's sort of corporatism, because the corporations run our medical care, and that's why it's a disaster. The banking system is run by corporations and government agency and a secret Federal Reserve, so it is a form of socialism, but I say we're moving in the direction of fascism, where corporations and governments are in bed together.
Congressman, let's talk about you and your runs for president. 20 years ago, you did it with the Libertarian Party, and this year you set all kinds of records, not only online, but in raising money, and you developed a really hardcore base of loyalists. Do you think it's because of the internet, or do you think it's because of your politics, given where we are in history right now, that that your campaign evolved as it did?
I think it's both. I think the time was right. I was not certain of that, certainly, you know, at the beginning, because I was very reluctant to do this, believing it would take another generation to educate people along the lines of true liberty and why we should follow the Constitution. But to my surprise, there was a welcomed audience out there, because I think people are ahead of the government and they realize there's a big problem. Young people know they can't pay all these bills, and they don't like our foreign policy, so the reception was was much greater than I anticipated. But the spreading of the message certainly wasn't through the help of the evening news on TV, because if I did get on there, it was usually to marginalize what I was doing, even in the debates. But a lot of people recognized there was a difference. They went to the website. The fundraising was not done by us. People come to me and they want me to teach them how to raise funds on the internet and give me their give them my email list. Well, that doesn't work that way. These people got together. They formed their meetup groups. There were 1,750 meetup groups, and they were the campaign. They did the campaigning. They organized.
Well, certainly, Congressman, you've touched a chord, but you also discovered in the course of your candidacy that there's a fairly hard ceiling to the extent to which your ideas will penetrate into the mainstream. Before we go, I want to give you a little present that we made for you when we were doing some electoral specials. We made a ringtone for your campaign, basically spinning off something that happened to the Barack Obama campaign. Listen to this, and then we'll say goodbye to you, all right? Thanks for joining us, Congressman.
Thank you.
Ron Paul. He's the truest of them all.
Congressman, that is available on our website if you want to download it.
Does that work for you, Congressman? Did it work for you?
We're going to let everybody know about your website today and see how many people come listen.
All right, great. Ron Paul, Congressman from Texas. I'd love to ask some of his constituents what they think about the gold standard. He's also a former Republican presidential candidate and running the Campaign for Liberty, which begins August 31st through September 2nd in Minneapolis. Thank you, Congressman.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.